Come on, who's got expectation in your heart for what the Lord's going to do in your life today and in our church today and in our city today? Well, my name's Thomas Humphreys. I'm lead pastor here at Rev City Church. And I just want to say once again, just a hearty welcome. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We're so grateful that you're here today with us to worship the Lord and to experience and encounter him. And I have the privilege and the honor this morning of introducing our very, very special guest speaker, Pastor Richard Hinojosa. And you know, the past few weeks we have been in the series called 10-Year Challenge. And every Sunday before I've gotten into the message, and the series is inspired by that thing that went viral on social media back around the turn of the new year, where all my friends and family and celebrities were posting pictures of themselves from today and then a picture from around 10 years ago, like a profile pic. And so before we've dug into the message every week, we've taken a moment and we've looked at some of those 10-year challenge pictures from some of our church leaders. Well, this morning, who knows where I'm going? I've got pictures of Pastor Richard and Sandra Hinojosa. Amen. Come on. Who's excited to see them? So here they are real recently. That's Pastor Richard and Sandra. Come on, aren't they handsome and beautiful? And so this is what was amazing. You know, the thing is, 10-year challenge, that's just the inspiration for the series. The idea really is this, that 10 days, 10 weeks, 10 months, 10 years from now, you will be different. You'll either be closer to God, further from God, or stuck the same, right? But we called it 10-year challenge. And again, the idea is like 10 minutes from now, because of some things that the Holy Spirit's going to do in your life right now in this service, you're going to be different, right? Come on. That's a good thing. But would you look down there in the bottom left-hand corner of that screen? You see that? What is that? That's the number 10. And they're holding, is that a cake, Pastor Richard, that they had presented to you guys? Pastor Richard and Sandra have been in ministry. How long, Pastor Richard? 30-something years of full-time ministry to build God's people and build God's kingdom. But they've served faithfully for 10 years as lead pastors of Good Shepherd Community Church in Brownsville, Texas. Come on, they just celebrated that just a couple weeks ago. Come on, honor them. 10 years of doing anything is pretty special. So God's just speaking. God's moving. God's doing something. So there they are just a couple weeks ago. The next picture actually is a picture from about 10 years ago when they went on staff at Good Shepherd Community Church. Come on, don't they look good? And then we have the third and final picture is from a few years before. Oh, come on. Is that baby Jessica? Is that who that is right there? Jessica, their daughter, their oldest child, and they're holding her there. I promise you, people of God, this is God's honest truth. This is gospel truth. We had that tiger picture in my house when I was a kid. You guys see it back there? Come on, anyone else have it by chance? Anyone recognize that tiger picture? It was in a set of two. There was that one and there was another one. You remember that? Come on, it got me to thinking, like, our kids are going to have the same experience because all you gals buy the same stuff at Hobby Lobby. 20 years from now, they're going to look back and it's going to be like, blessed, gather, you know, family. It's like, hey, my mom had that too, you know. It's true. You know it's true, right? Well, listen, let me tell you, about 7 years ago, my wife and I moved to Brownsville, Texas to serve as part of the staff of Good Shepherd Community Church. And for 3 years, we got to watch Pastor Richard and Sandra lead that congregation and lead that staff and make an impact in that city. And we're grateful that the Lord has brought us here. But can I tell you something? That the Lord was very intentional about where he sent us. I was telling Fernando the other day, it was like when God took me after I'd served for 12 years at Champions Church in West Texas and Abilene, Texas. He took me to Brownsville, Texas, and my wife and our kids. And it was like finishing school for me to prepare me for what God was about to call us to come here and serve this precious church. And I got to watch. I got to watch how Pastor and Sandra served so faithfully. I mean, I can't tell you how much they serve with integrity and with passion for God's people and for God's presence and for the church that they serve in and for the city that they serve in. They are the real deal. And it made an impact. Pastor, you made an impact on my life and my ministry. And everything that we do in this church and forevermore will be impacted by the example that you and Sandra set and the way that you guys loved us and shaped us and trained us and encouraged us and admonished us. And you were preparing us. God was preparing us for what he was calling us to do. And I'm thankful. And now Pastor Richard and Sandra serve as spiritual parents and apostolic voices to this church and to my life and to our ministry. And I'm just telling you, you need to expect this morning that God's going to speak something to your life. Because you'll see what I'm sharing with you right now. You're about to see it. Pastor Richard Hinojosa is filled with the passion of God. He's filled with passion. He doesn't even know many of you, but I'm telling you, you're about to experience his passion for you in every area of your life to discover God's very best for you, for your life, your future, your marriage, your family, your home, everything God's called you to put your hands to. And it's the reason that we've invited him here this morning. And we'll invite him and welcome him back this evening to minister once again. So without further ado, come on, would you put your hands together and give a big Rev City welcome to Pastor Richard Hinojosa. Pastor Richard Hinojosa.
Love you, Pastor. Honoring me that way. Love you, buddy.
Amen. Well, good morning. God bless you. It really is good to be here. I want you to know something. You guys got great pastors in this church. I know a few of them. And God is always up to something. He's always got a plan. We may not always understand it. We may not always like it. How many of you have liked everything that God has led you to and through in your life? You know, but God loves us so much that he's willing to take us to and through things to get us to those things and places, whether it's relationally, as a family, as a church, as a community, as a region. God has a plan, and I want you to get that, not here, but in here this morning. And so Pastor Thomas and Amity and all you guys, thank you for receiving us again. We love your city. I mean, we love it a little bit more this time than last time because, boy, it was really cold last time we were here. I mean, really cold. But thank you, Pastor Thomas and Amity, for having us again. We bring you greetings from Brownsville, Texas, the tip of Texas. You can't go any further unless you want to go into Mexico. And God called us there in 2009 to go do a work and minister to people and not build a church, but build a people. But can I just tell you this morning that when it's in your heart to build people, God's going to build your church because that's what he's all about. And so thank you for allowing us to be a small part of this process of being here and sharing. But before I get on with the word that I have in my spirit for us this morning, Sandra, would you come up for just a moment? I know she's going to kill me later. Come on up here for just a moment. This is my wife, Sandra. Like they say, we used to say, I out-punted my coverage when I married her. And, man, we're just blessed that the Lord has allowed us, really allowed us, because we know us, that he's allowed us to do what we're doing, and we're forever grateful for every opportunity, including this opportunity here. So together, we just want to bring you greetings from Brownsville, Texas, and Good Shepherd Community Church, and just pray that God would continue to bless you guys, that God could continue to strengthen you, that he would give you vision to see past where you are. And so is there something you'd like to say to the people this morning besides I'm going to kill you later to me?
It's amazing to be here and to see what God is doing here. I know it's hard for you to see sometimes when you're around it every day. But I was sitting there thinking, you know, it's like watching your kids grow up and you don't realize how they're changing and how they're growing and maturing. But we were here a year ago, and now to come back and to see the change and to see what God is doing is awesome. It is awesome. Just stop and take a deep breath and see, because God has done amazing things this last year.
Yeah, yes.
And he's not finished.
Amen.
I'm so excited for where he's taking Rev City Church under the leadership of Pastor Thomas and Amity. And it's just a blessing to be here and to watch them serve you as they serve the Lord. Blessings from Brownsville, Texas.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Hud. Come on. Thank you. Well, I want to encourage you. I'm gonna go here and there this morning. And then tonight, I just feel like I have some words in due season and just some maybe a release of a prophetic ministry time for this evening, where God would again just encourage us through his word, talk a little bit about prophecy, The difference between a gift of prophecy and a prophet. I don't proclaim to be a prophet. I do know that sometimes the Lord allows us to minister a word in due season prophetically to individuals. And so we just want to hang out with you. We're going to preach this morning. We want to minister to you this morning. But then I want to bring a corporate word. And then tonight we may do a lot more personal ministry, is what I would call it, as Pastor Thomas leads. But before I get to the message, you know, Chet, I looked over at you earlier, and man, I love your shoes, dude. I mean, I'm telling you, what size of shoe you wear? No, I know. I mean, yeah. Come on, man, they'll fit. I'm gonna wear them tonight. Now listen, when I looked over, I'm not picking on you. I'm telling you, I looked over that, and this is weird because I'm in service and I'm pressing into the Lord, and the Lord said, Billy White Shoes Johnson. I just heard that in my spirit. And so some of you have no idea who Billy White Shoes Johnson is, but he was a wide receiver for the Houston Oilers back in the day when they really played football. No, I'm kidding. I mean, just before the refs got in the middle of everything. But anyway, when I looked over at there, you know, sometimes he was fast, but sometimes, you know, Dandy Don Meredith would throw the ball way over where he just couldn't get to it, no matter how fast he was. And that's frustrating to try to get to something that seems that's beyond you. And there's a story in the Bible that talks about Jonathan shooting an arrow beyond David, and David had to leave where he was, what he knew. Not it wasn't just a physical, it was a shift in his heart, it was a shift in his life. Things were getting ready to change in an incredible way for him, and when the arrow was shot beyond him, then he would have to leave everything as he knew, and he would have to adjust attitudes and just who he hung out with. Just so many things changed for him. And I want to tell you that arrow that seems to be beyond you in this season of your life, that you don't know how you can make it happen or if you can do it well enough, God says that he's got you. You just trust him. When you can't get to the arrow that's beyond you and can't catch up to it, God says, if you'll trust me, I'll make it happen, and it's going to be okay. Don't be afraid to go after that arrow that seems to be beyond you. Does that make sense? Okay. And so I looked at this gentleman. I didn't get your name, sir. I am so sorry. What is your name? Right behind Beth right here. Yes, sir. Gary? Gary, you know, I was standing there, and I don't think this way. I mean, when thoughts come, so it's got to mean something to somebody. And I look back, Gary, and I heard, this is what I heard in my spirit. He's a triple jumper. I thought, a triple jumper? And I said, you know those guys that run the track, and it's a hop, skip, and a jump? You know, I've never done it, obviously. but I've watched it, okay? And I said, Lord, what does that mean? I said, well, there's been a season in his life where he triple jumped. He was making incredible progress. And somewhere along in the any track people here? And jump, hip, hop, skip. You see, come on, man, help me preach. Come on. Hop, skip, and jump. And I saw you in seasons. And there was a season not too long ago where you hop, you skip, and when you skipped, you threw your hip kind of got displaced, and so you didn't take that jump. And the Lord says he's bringing healing to your hip spiritually, and he's going to cause you and encourage you to take another jump, because you've taken a hop, a skip, but you hesitated with a jump, and God says, jump now, son, I got you. Man, I hope that makes sense. So anyway, so come back tonight. We're just going to ask the Lord to minister to us, to do what he does. But I've got something that I really want to, Pastor Thomas, and you all weigh this. I come in, I ask the Lord to help me just minister, and then you guys as leadership and you guys as a congregation have to make the decisions that God will bring confirmation to. But, you know, I was reminded as I was coming on this trip, there's so much that's in my heart and in my spirit for you guys. But I want to talk about, I'm going to tell you a story. I'm going to read you a story about a man who took a stand in the middle of a field and defended it. But before I get there, I just want to encourage you in a couple of things, and then we're going to go to the scripture. And the scripture that I'm going to go to, just to give you a heads up, is going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 23. But I was reminded of a time when I was in Picayune, Mississippi, 10 years ago, before I moved to Brownsville, Texas. We're in a church of about 2,500 people there in Pickey, Mississippi, and the Lord moved us to Good Shepherd Community Church. We had about 100 people and beautiful facility, but they had just been through a difficult season, and God was causing a revival. He wanted to revive, and he wanted to restore. He wanted to activate some things in the city. So 10 years ago, we took an invitation to leave a church where we were part of about 2,500 people to trust God with a group of 100 people that he had a plan for. And I remember being in a gym there in Picayune, Mississippi, and I was working out, and they had the television screens, and there was a heated debate going on between a couple of political guys, and man, I mean, they weren't just kind of talking politics. When your veins start popping out of your neck, you're serious and you're intent on what you're doing. And so they were going back and forth, and I'm running or walking, whatever I'm doing. And then all of a sudden, one of the gentlemen on the screen said this. He said, "Hey, listen, are you just wanting to make a statement, or do you want to make a difference?" And when I heard that, it's like the Holy Spirit said to me, "Richard, I know what you believe. I know where you stand. I know you know the word. I know that. And I know that you're not shy about telling, but do you just want to make statements, or do you want to make a difference?" And I don't know about you, but I don't want to just make statements. I'm going to make statements, but I want to make a difference. I believe that God has put us in the middle of where we are and plants us in a place so that we can impact and we can make a difference in the lives of the families, the churches, the community, the schools, the region. God wants us to impact them, because it says in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 1, he says, "Arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord has risen upon you." He says, "And your light has come." And because your light has come, now I want you to arise. Everybody say arise. I want you to arise and let your light shine so you can make a difference in the lives of the families, the businesses, the communities around you. Now, that word arise there in that passage of scripture in Isaiah means this. It means to get up. It doesn't just mean to stay. If I say, "Okay, would you rise to your feet?" You just rise to your feet. As Pastor Thomas did, we just rise, because that's what it is. But this word here has an action tied and connected to it. It means arise, stand up with the purpose of taking action. It's not just to get up. God doesn't just want to activate us so that we can get up. He wants us to get up. He wants us to rise with the purpose to do something about what's going on around us, whether it's in our homes, in our schools, in our community or region, and do something about where we are, to not settle for where we are, to go to that place that's beyond us, to do those things that God has called us to do individually, but also corporately as a fellowship. So God wants us to, everybody say arise. He wants us to activate us so that we can get up with the purpose of doing something. I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, "I think God wants you to do something in this season." "Well, not me, Pastor. I don't mind." I said, you know, just kind of like, God, and here's the thing. We don't have to do anything. We get to. God invites us to partner with him again this year in 2019, to be activated, to rise up, to focus on him, and to take action and do something about those things that are going around us, in our homes, and everywhere we are. So here's a couple of thoughts that I want to leave with you, then I'm going to get to the story. You know, God wants us to make a difference. God wants us to leave a legacy, something that we leave behind to the next for the next generation, and something that I'll leave behind that will be actually a value to them. I'm not just talking about material things. I'm talking about godly principles. I'm talking about godly, about faith. I'm talking about those things that will help them stand in the midst of whatever comes their way. I'm not talking about material legacy. I'm talking about a spiritual legacy that God invites us to pass on to another generation. So I ask myself this question: what is it that's going on in my life? What do I have in my life that I want to pass on to my children and my grandchildren? I want you to think about that for a minute. Are there some good things in your life that you want to pass on to your children and in your grandchildren? I'm a grandpa now. Thank you. And then the other question is, what's going on in my life? What do I have that I don't want to pass on to my children and my children's children? Any of you think about at least one thing? And then the question is, what am I willing to do about that? What am I willing to get up and do something about what I want to transfer to them? And what am I willing to do about those things in my life that I don't want to transfer to them? And then we have to rise up by the power of the Holy Spirit with the guidance of His Word and the guidance of His Spirit, and then take action about those things that we can no longer afford to just watch and see how it turns out. He's wanting to activate His people so we can get up and do something about those things that are in our lives to do. It doesn't matter what you did or didn't do yesterday. What matters is when we rise up and we go forward to take action, that's what's going to make the difference from this day forward. I recognize there's three seasons in people's lives. I think I'm going to get to Samuel here in a little bit. There's a season of survival. Anybody ever been through a season of survival? Man, I just want to make it through this. I just want to get, get up and do something. I just want to make it. So it happens more than once. So we get to a season of survival, which leads us, because of the goodness and the mercies of God, to experience a measure of success. I experience a measure of success as a man, as an individual, as a husband, as a father, as a grandfather, as a friend, as a brother, as a pastor. So we go through a season of survival, then we enter into a season of success. And sometimes when we experience a measure of success, if we're not careful, we get stuck. And we don't realize that we are blessed to be a blessing, that the successes that God allows us to partner with Him in, whether it's personally or corporately, is because He's looking for a people who will make a difference in somebody else's life and leave a spiritual legacy for the generations to come. So we go from survival to success, and we can't get stuck there because God wants to lead us to the third season, which is a season of significance, where we do something about what God has done for us that is not just for us, and we're willing to take that and pass it on to someone. That's how I started in ministry when I started working for the gang prevention program in LA that I worked at. I just wanted to help one kid. I didn't have aspirations to be a senior pastor and to have the opportunity to minister alongside of young men and young women that God was going to use to do ministry all over the country and even in other countries, that God would use me and allow me to be a part of. It started with just making the difference. Listen, get up and make a difference in one person's life. Fill that empty chair. Make a difference. One person at a time, and you'll leave something of significance. So if you're in a season of survival, we're going to pray for you because we sang about it, Fernando. Breakthrough is coming. If you're in a season where you're experiencing a measure of success, don't get stuck there and start leaving a legacy for the generation to come. Amen? So God wants to activate us so that we can be blessed to be a blessing to those around us. And so I want to encourage you in that. Where are you this morning? What season are you in? Listen, in Acts chapter 13, 36, I promise you I'm going to 2 Samuel. It says, "For David, after he had served his own generation by the will of God," say God's will, "by the will of God, he fell asleep and he was buried with his fathers." And it says that God's will for David was to do something significant in his generation. And it said David did that. I want you to know it's God's will for you to enter into a season of significance, where in the midst of whatever's going on in your life, whatever struggles, whatever challenges you may have, God says, "I can do something in you, with you, and through you." It's not about us alone. And if we're in a season of survival, come help us, Lord, and strengthen us and prepare us, oh God, for your blessing so that then we can enter into that season of significance. Let me ask you this question. What would you like Ref City Church to look like, be like 10 years from now? I mean, we just literally, this February is when Sandra and I transitioned from Picayune, Mississippi to Brownsville, Texas, on an invitation from the Lord to do something that most people thought was impossible to do. There was nothing wrong with what the previous generation had done. They had got the church to where it was, but it was time to rise up and continue being significant, continue making a difference in people's lives. But we've got to make some decisions. We have to make some tough choices. We have to. What would you like this church to be like? What would you like the children's ministry to look like? What would you like the youth area to look like? What would you like 10 years from now for the community to say about this church, your church? If this is part, if you're well, if this is not your home church, wherever you are And if you don't have a good church, this is one I know, so you can come hang out here with these guys. What do you want them to say? What do you want your children to step into? And what are you willing to do about it to make that happen? And that's what stirred our hearts. That's what caused us to sacrifice and forgive and to unite, to see past where we were, those arrows that get shot that are beyond you. And there was a man in 2 Samuel, his name was Shema. If you look with me in 2 Samuel, I'm going to bring this to a close because I want to pray for you here in just a minute. In 2 Samuel chapter 23, if we're going to serve our generation like David did, we have to make a decision to take a stand, to place ourselves in the place, our rightful place in our home, in our workplace, in our community, in our church, that we have to make a decision to plant ourselves, but because that's what the scripture says in Psalm 93, those that are planted in the courts of the Lord will flourish, they'll make steady, favorable progress. So you plant yourself and you make a decision about God is working in me because he wants to work in me, but he also wants to do something through me, with me and through me. And it starts to talk about David's mighty men. Remember, it says David served his generation well, but he didn't serve his generation well by himself. He had partners. He had a team. He had men that he could count on. Let me say, and the Lord said, Richard, are you someone that people can count on? Not when things are good, but even when you're struggling, will you still be able to stand? And people, can you help carry? Can you help do? Can you help move? Can you help pray? Can you in the middle? Will you become part of a team of people that together make steady, favorable progress? So you got to connect with God and be personally connected with him through his son Jesus. And you got to connect with each other. You got to build relationships with one another so we can pray for each other and you can encourage one another. And then we have an opportunity to begin to make a difference in the lives of the people around us. But this guy in here in 2 Samuel, he starts naming the mighty men of David, the guys that surrounded himself, the people that surrounded himself with David that helped him serve his generation well. And so if you look at verse 8, he says, these are the mighty men of David. And he starts to name all those guys there. Verse 9, after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, and one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines who were gathered there for battle, and the men of Israel had retreated. And when this happened, look at what it says in verse 10. It says, he arose and attacked the Philistines. He got up, arise and shine, arise with a purpose to take action and do something. If you're not happy with where you are in your marriage, get up and do something about it. If you're not happy with where your children are and their place in there, get up and do something about it. That's your field. Your home is your field. If this is your church, this church is your field. If you live in Lawrence, Kansas, this is your field. And when the enemy comes against you and he's trying to ravage your marriage and he's trying to ravage your children, he's trying to ravage your community and your church, someone has got to be activated by faith with the Holy Spirit to stand in the middle of that field and trust God to do something that seems impossible to do. And I know there's some things in your life that appear to be impossible. You don't know how it's going to happen. You're just trying to make it, but you're not just going to make it, my friend. You're going to more than make it, but you're going to have to trust him because you're seeing some things that don't make sense to you, and you're struggling with some things in here that you're not quite sure how to get past. But God says he's going to get you past your past to get you to your future. And if you'll just stand in your relationship with him, if you'll just trust him, even when it doesn't make sense and it's not fair and it's too hard, he says, not only are you going to keep that God has as an inheritance for you, you're going to be able to share that with those. I don't know who that little one is that you're so concerned about, that you want to help but you can't. God says, I've got it. But you're going to have to stand in your faith and your trust in the Lord in this season of your life because things don't make sense to you. But God doesn't send a spirit of confusion. He says, I give you a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, which means safe thinking. And so you trust what God is speaking to you. But we got to get up and we got to be willing. What is it that you're looking to change, to make better? You got to stand up. It says, he arose. Let me go back here. So he arose and he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. He didn't quit when he got tired. He didn't give up when it seemed impossible. He didn't quit when he was wounded and felt like he had no strength. He didn't quit when he looked around and wondered where all those people that said they were going to help. He held on to the sword. He held on to the word. He held on to the promise of God, even when he was tired, until God brought victory. And if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to see change and impact, he's going to activate us. And when it seems like we have no strength, he says, and when you are weak, I am strong. It says that he arose and he attacked the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand stuck to the sword. And then it says, and the Lord, everybody say the Lord. The Lord brought about a great victory that day when he decided to stand. He says, and people returned, and they plundered the enemy. And then it gets to this guy, Shammah. After him was Shammah. And it says that the Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils. That was their harvest. They needed that. They'd worked hard for it. But the enemy always came and steal from them the progress that they had made. And some of you feel like you take two steps forward and three steps back. And the enemy always comes up, and you're tired of fighting. You're tired of the enemy taking from you what's right. You're tired of him messing with your family. You're tired of him. And it says that when this happened, and he said, man, again? Have you ever been that? Man, I got to hurry. Have you ever been at a place where you feel like you're making progress, and somehow, I don't know how, it seems like all of a sudden all that hard work, and here I am still here, no solution, no answer, no progress, no. See, like Sandra said, you don't see it because you're in the middle of it. But I want you to know you're making more progress than what you think. You really are better now than you were then. We're not perfect, man, beginning with me. But I want you to know you're making progress. You're making progress. You can't see it because you got to fight for it. You got to stand for it. You feel the pressures and you feel the stress and you have the questions. But in the midst of it, God wants you to know you're further along than what you think. So you just keep trusting him, and he's going to get you to that was in your heart to get to. But listen, we've got to trust God in the middle of what's going on, and we've got to stand firm in faith, believing in him, that he's able to do what we cannot do in our own strength. So here was Shammah, and he was tired. He said, listen, man, I tried that before. I really prayed about it, and it looked like it was going in the right direction. Now here comes that same old problem. Here comes that same old, that person. Man, I just don't know if I'm ever going to get to the other side of this. I just don't see how that's going to happen. And many people, according to this passage of scripture, said, we believe in harvest, we believe in revival, we believe in what God is building, we believe that he's called us together to do this, but man, every time we make progress, it seems like, man. So let me finish reading this passage of scripture here. It says that Shammah, it says the Philistines had gathered together into a troop where there was a piece of ground full of lentils, full of harvest, full of provision, full of what they needed. So this is what the people did. It says, so the people fled from the Philistines. They were tired of fighting, so I said, man, I ain't got another fight left in me, so I'm just, let's go. We fight. We get beat up, they plunder our blessings, our families, our children, our churches. I'll believe in God. I'll keep trusting Jesus, but I'm just too tired to fight anymore. I just take what comes. And God says, arise. Arise with a purpose to take action. And that's exactly what Shammah did. He said, but the people fled from the Philistines, but he, everybody say he. And say, he's talking about you. You're he today. He stationed himself in the middle of the field and defended it, and he killed the Philistines. So the Lord, who? The Lord brought about a great victory that day. Now, we sang about breakthrough. Do we really believe it, or is it just a cool song to do? that day, there came a day. There came a day when it got into the heart of a man. And people may say to you, man, what are you thinking? You really think you can make a difference? You really think that? But God activated something in the heart of one man. Just one man. That's all it takes is one man, one group, one church, one that will stand in the middle of their field and defend it and fight. And we know we can't. We know it's too hard. But it didn't say that Shema brought about a great victory that day. All he had to do was stand in his field. And when he made a decision to stand up and do something, and the greatest thing we can do is stand up and say, God, I'm going to trust you no matter what. I'm standing in my faith. I'm standing on your word. I'm standing on your promises. In the middle of all my challenges, in the middle of my weakness, in the middle of my fears, in the middle of my disappointments, in the middle of the offenses have come, in the middle of my pain, I'm going to stand. I'm going to position myself in my marriage. I'm going to position myself in my family. I'm going to position myself in my church. I'm going to position myself, and we're going to position ourselves as a church in this city. And come what comes, oh God, we're taking a stand. We're going to trust you no matter what. We're not going to let culture drive us. We're not going to let the Washington drive us. We're going to let you and your word and your spirit and your ways that are higher than our ways and your thoughts that are higher than our thoughts and your plans that are higher than our plans. We're going to stand and trust you to get us through where we are, to get to that place. And we weren't giving up our harvest. We're not going to give up our lentils anymore. We're not going to let the enemy come and steal our marriages and our children and our families and our schools and our churches and our community. We are standing up. Activate us by the power of your spirit to stand in the middle of our field and defend it. Do we want to make a statement? Or do we want to make a difference? Every head bowed for, I'm not finished, but I just want you to take a moment, private, where you are. Personal. What's God saying to you this morning? What's the enemy been stealing and ripping off? Your peace, your rest, your joy, your purpose, that dream that you let go of so long ago. What is it that you feel you have no strength and the enemy's convinced you to quit fighting for it and to flee? Would you just be honest with the Lord and say, Lord, I hear you inviting me to stand. Stand for my marriage, to stand for my children. Anybody can see what's wrong with God. Give me eyes to see past where I am. Let me not just keep counting the times I've suffered loss and lost a battle. Let me put my eyes back on you and see past where I am. I have no strength to stand on my own, God. And I wonder, these dry bones, this dry marriage, these dry family, this, I wonder, can it live again? And the prophet said, only you know, Lord. And he said, prophesy. Prophesy to the bones. Prophesy. Speak to those things the word of the Lord and call them forth and speak to things that aren't as though they are. Speak to your marriage that you want, not the one that you have. Speak to the children that you know God has called and their purpose and not to what you see. Speak to your church and the potential of the church and the potential of your city and the potential of this region. Speak to that is not as though it is, and watch God breathe the breath of life and bring those things that appear to be dead back to life. And it says, and they rose up and they stood up on their feet like a mighty army. Rise with a purpose to take action. And right there where you are, just tell them, what is it? Holy Spirit, speak to us personally. Begin with me, Lord, right here, right now. What are you saying to me, Lord? Come on, ask him. It's very practical. What is it? It's not going to change overnight. But it starts with standing in his presence and recognizing only he can bring that victory in that area of our lives. Nobody looking around. Holy Spirit, thank you. You've not come to chastise us. You've not come to put guilt or shame on us. Because there is no guilt, no shame, no condemnation on those who belong to you. You've come to give us eyes to see. You've come to spark that word, the seed, the promise, oh God, that you've deposited in us. I'm convinced that he who began a good work in you is able to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. And he's not finished with us yet. He's not done. You're not done. We're not done. But God, we need to stand in the middle of our field and defend it. God, we don't want to make statements. We know the conditions. Everybody who was with Shema had opinions about what he should do. Well, you're outnumbered. There are more there that are for them than them than them that are against us. And Shema, we've tried this before and it didn't work. And I know you have good intentions, but you don't know. And I think this and I think that, and I think you shouldn't. I think and everybody has an opinion, everybody makes statements, but God is calling the people to make a difference, and you gotta get past other people's opinions and other people's statements, and you gotta get with God, and you got to say, I'm taking a stand, and God, your word is a final word in my life, in my marriage, in my children, in my church, in my city, and I'm trusting you. I'm standing and I'm placing myself on a firm foundation, which is Jesus Christ, and I'm believing you to bring the victories that only you can bring in me, with me, and through me. We're not in denial. I know some of you are hurting. I know some of you have experienced a measure of failure. I know some of you have said, been there, done that. I know some of you have fought and fought and fought till you're tired and weary and don't know if you have one more fight in you. Well, the Lord comes today by his Spirit. He says, I will give you the strength to rise. I will give you the strength to rise. I will give you wisdom to lead, courage to stand, and vision to finish. To get past where you've been, to get past where you are, and watch, the Lord brought a great victory to them that day. And it all started with one man that said, I hear what you're saying. I know what they've said about. I heard your opinion. Psalm 93 says, the storms have lifted up their voice, O Lord. There's the storms, the troubles, the challenges have voices, and they speak fear, and they try to cause you to give up and quit and lay down and go through the motions. The psalmist writes in his word, and he says, The storms, the floods have lifted up, O Lord. The floods have lifted up their voice. The floods lift up their waves. I hear it. I hear the fears and the threats and the intimidation, and I see the lack. We're not in denial. Shema was not in denial. He didn't act like there was no enemy. He didn't act like he wasn't tired. He didn't act like he didn't have a plan. He acknowledged, and those voices and those floods and those troubles and those opinions and all those things were lifting up their voice, because those voices have, those floods and those problems, those troubles have voices. And he says, I hear them, Lord. They're speaking loud. But then he says in verse 4, but the Lord on high is mightier than the noise of many waters, than the mighty waves of the sea. Yeah, I got problems. Shema said, yeah, I know I'm outnumbered. Yeah, I know they've stolen my harvest before. I know they've messed with us. I know they've hurt us. And I hear the opinions of, why would it be different this time? But the voice, come on, somebody help me this morning. But the voice of the Lord is mightier than whatever trouble, whatever fear, whatever intimidation, whatever they're saying, whatever your friends think, whatever they're taunting and tormenting you with and challenging you with. All the voices of the floods and the challenges, they're loud, but the voice of the Lord is mightier than the noise of all the troubles and all the mocking. And if you will but stand in the middle of your field, the Lord will bring a great victory to you in this season of your life. I don't know about you, but I've taken a few licks in 2018. 2019, God says, arise. Position yourself in my presence. Make a choice to not only get up, but get up with a purpose to do something about what's before you. And in that, he says, I will bring about a great victory this day. So let me ask you this question, and we're going to go into a time of worship. I'm going to turn the service back over to Pastor Thomas. I'm not finished. I'm going to got a lot of things to say, but we'll have to do that tonight. But if you're here, and you know God said, I'm asking you to rise up, to take a stand in your field, whatever that is, whether it's home, work, family. But you know that God said, I know I'm outnumbered. I know what's happened. I know I'm not in denial, but I hear the Lord. I hear the roar of culture. I hear the roar of confusion and chaos in our nation. I hear the roar. But I also hear the roar of the Lion of Judah. I hear the roar of the old rugged cross. I hear the roar of the Lord, and the roar of the Lord is greater than the roar of culture, than the roar of government, than the roar of confusion, than the roar of fear, the roar of the Lord. He said, I am the Lion of Judah. He says, and the devil goes around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But the roar, let the roar of the Lord, let the roar of the old rugged cross scream louder to you this morning than the noise of all the trouble that's going on around you. And all he asks us to do is take a stand. At the count of three, if you say, I'm going to take a stand about something, I'm going to do, I don't know what that is, but if you say, man, Lord, you're speaking to me, I'm going to take a stand, then I'm asking at the count of three, just stand right where you are. You say, I'm going to get up with a purpose of doing something about this thing that the Holy Spirit is speaking to me. If that's you, at the count of three, just stand to your feet right where you are. Y'all ready? One, two, three, stand. Take a physical act about a spiritual truth that God is wanting to really stand. I'm standing. Come on up here, Sandra. I'm standing. We're standing. We're standing with your pastors. We're standing with your team. We're standing with your fams. I want you to know that God is for you. And if God is for you, who can be against you? And right there where you tell him, would you just begin to tell him right there where you're, God, I'm standing. I'm not just physically standing, but I'm positioning myself spiritually in a place where you, oh God, would bring a great victory to my life this morning. Right there, come on, just tell him. Just tell him right where you are.